Merch, as the thing is called. So let's talk merch with three wonderful people who are all related to the subject in many different ways. So we'll have a very varied approach to this broad subject. So I would ask the three of you to start by introducing yourselves, if your things are working. And what is it that you do, especially related to the subject at hand?
Okay, my name is Sari Wilholm. I work with spirits for 30 years, and I'm one of the founders of a company that many artists knows about, Brands for Fans, doing merch for bands like Slayer, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, In Flames, etc.
All the little ones.
The small ones, yeah. But I did also for small ones. Plura, for example, is a Swedish guy. And then I ended up stopped working there, so I was headhunted to another company called now Live Brands Factory. So I do basically the same, but we do merch that you can eat and drink, so it's not only spirits. So that's where I'm at today.
My name is Runa. I'm founder of Midgardsblot Festival in Norway. It's 1 hour southwest of Oslo. And we have the festival in by the huge Viking grave mounds. That's the grave site for all the big Norwegian Viking kings and queens. And the ships and everything is excavated from there, the Viking ships. So it's a huge park with a very Norse-themed, the Norse and the Viking history is going through the whole, it's a whole narrative of our festival. But we have 5,000 capacity, book a very, very varied range of genres, but primarily metal and folk, world music. We have blut raves, Viking raves in the Viking Hall. So it's very broader than your typical metal festival. And so everything we do, considering merch, has this Norse vibe and Norse narrative to everything we do. And those mounds is actually the one that inspire us in all we do.
Hello, I'm Dan. I spent 25 years working at a metal label called Earache from Nottingham in England. I did like 750 releases in that time for 25 years. And then I got out of that a few years ago, and now I work with different artists doing campaigns for them. American bands will ask me to run things in Europe as for their campaigns, for their marketing, whatever needs doing. But I also now work for a online merch retailer called iStore Merch in England. And I run a lot of D2C, pre-order, fulfillment, whatever bands need to get product merch that they sell out to customers. Because one thing that bands are perhaps not so good at is dealing with, you know, getting things out on time, sending them, the different complexities of sending things to different parts of the world. So I handle all that for them, and also deal with, you know, when things go wrong with the merch, when you send it out and it doesn't get there, or there it's damaged, or there are complaints. We deal with all that too, which again perhaps is not what bands are best at doing. So but I work across a wide range of different genres, and I also have a label, a book publishing company, and manage a couple of bands too. So, you know, the merch thing crosses all of those things for me.
Okay, so you are all very experienced in your various fields, so I think we can start with a broad how is it now kind of question. Merch has always been a part of a band's life, ever since there have been bands, I guess. Have you felt that, especially in the years since record sales started dwindling, et cetera, we all know the times we live in, merch has gained significantly new or at least different role than what it used to have before? We can start in the same order.
So we were pioneers in doing spirits because we did like Motorhead Shiraz wine was the first, and that was like really. We didn't do it, but we did distribute it. So that was like a new merch thing because, you know, I get emails from Twisted Sister, from Megadeth, saying, hey, we also want to do booze, you know. So it's like, oh, shit, why are they emailing me? But they also, it was another way of selling merch. It wasn't like, because you can't sell them booze in festivals in there, so... You have to sell them somewhere else. Maybe another, I don't know about Germany and US, maybe you can do that. But in Sweden, you definitely can't do that. So it was a new way of them selling merch. And it was also a new kind of income for them. So that I think that's why it came so popular as a new kind of merch.
I think it's really interesting that we started by you in particular, because I think that is one of the main signals of how merch has changed so much in the role that it plays in a band's life. Because back then, when we thought of merch, I think most of us thought T-shirts, right? That kind of thing. And sure, Kiss always had Kiss underpants and Kiss whatever it was. And there were a few bands that were perhaps ahead of their time, business-minded in that way. But In the last few years, last, I guess, couple of decades, merch has expanded a lot, including what you do, right?
Yeah, and also festivals, your festival, because I work very closely to Sweden Rock Festival. I have done all their booths for many years. So, but, you know, the Sweden Rock merch, so I guess you also do these kind of things.
Well, the thing is, the biggest difference, I think, and it didn't happen overnight, it was something coming, but that people want something, not only the T-shirt, or they want something unique, and they want something that sort of is an identity marker, but it's not that obvious, because you cannot wear your band T-shirts everywhere if you work in like very corporate businesses or... So we're looking into that, and we develop like very exclusive, not that in-your-face merch, but that you still wear it and show that it's sort of a part of your identity that you can show if you work in a, like very, you have to go in a corporate room or whatever. And the other thing that's changed a lot, I think, is that there's more consciousness about and this making eco-friendly merch, environmental merch, you know. And in Midgardsblot, we started this when we started out in 2015. It was actually, I thought, I don't have money to pay up front for 5,000 T-shirts. So what I did was that I was looking for suppliers that would make a new sort of T-shirt, new prints, and we just had, with the two, three first years, we printed like 200 festival T-shirts with a very like gold print, and gold print was, you know, I wanted to working with this Viking historical. Yeah, I had to find some colors that was both metal and also Viking, and the genre we were working in. So that's where the gold came from. And I could use red, but red and black has been done to death, and gold and black was something new. So, and then we started with this only 200 T-shirts, and it was so unique, and it was soft, and it was something new, and it was more expensive, but it was sold out in one day. And then we created this crazy demand for this gold thing. 2 years later, I saw every other new band T-shirt was in gold, and I was like, "Yeah, cool." It's
started the trend here.
Yeah. But the new thing is that, make merch that lasts and that is unique products more and more, because then you can do it more eco-friendly, and people buy that. They're interesting to buy that, pay that extra money.
I just wanted to say that about the gold. I just did a whiskey for Amon Amart.
Yeah.
And it's all in gold.
Of course. So they're playing my festival this year.
Oh, great.
So that's right, a good thing. Right.
So gold is the way. Dan, ever since you were selling rude autopsy T-shirts in the early 90s.
I don't know what you're talking about.
to what you do now, it has changed a lot, this merch business. Hasn't it?
In some ways, yeah. I mean, in the world we grew up in, the rock and metal stuff, merch was like super important for every band, because that was how they made their money, and it's still that same way now. I think the difference now is that, like you were saying, there's more awareness of what people want and what they care about, the factors that will influence them buying something. And one of the things we see at Eyesore a lot, I mean, you know, it developed a huge range of women's designs. You know, before, all you could do was buy the black T-shirt with the thing on and whatever. But and, you know, women had to make do with that. There was nothing catering specifically for that. Now, every band T-shirt that comes out has the women's range as well, sometimes with different designs, certainly a different cut, whatever. And also you have things like, I mean, we sell, I can't tell you how many Motorhead baby grows we sell, you know, because there's parents now that have kids that, you know, they're not trying to influence them to be getting into Motorhead at that age, but they're, you know, it means something to them, and they're able to, you know, dress their kids in these baby grows to, with their favorite band. So I think it was simpler back then, but the economy of it is still the same. If you don't have good merch, at least for rock and metal, I would assume it's the same for, you know, most pop genres and whatever, but if you don't have good merch, it can make or break whether your tour is going to succeed, because the money you're getting from the show that you're paid is probably just about covering transportation, crew, whatever. And the cherry on the top is obviously, you know, so it's really important that you have the kind of thing you were talking about, eco-friendly, if that's what your audience wants, baby grows, if that's what they want, and have a lot of different designs. You see a merch board now at a show, used to have, like, you know, logo shirt, album shirt. Now it's a whole rainbow of 55 different designs. Yeah. So that whole side of things, people designing those things, thinking through how you represent yourself through your merch, has become really important.
Yeah. I'm very glad that both of you picked up on the eco-friendly aspect of it, because with so many bands doing so much more merch now, and this is an issue that's been raised, fortunately, by a few bands. I'm thinking Napalm Death, Gojira, for example. They've all become very strong advocates of this, and they employ it in the merch they sell. The sustainability of merch, and this is not just applied to clothes, but I guess it's the clearest example. It is a crucial thing, isn't it, to have? Since you mentioned it first, would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it's... we launched a Bloot collection of knitwear, and it sprung out of that one thing is to produce and manufacture and eco-friendly, environmental friendly, but also that you don't, the volumes, the huge volumes that anyone that has done artist merch or festival merch, we have case loads of merch in our storage, and most of it is shipped from China in big containers that is not especially environmental friendly. So it sprung, and the volumes, and that you exchange new T-shirts all the time. I have like cases at my home with T-shirts. I was like, I just want one T-shirt to rule them all, sort of. I'm talking about festival merch now, not the band merch. Yeah. And then this idea came that I want merch to die in. This sprung out of that. And in Horten, where I live and where the festival is, we have manufacturers that can do amazing knitwear. And I'm so lucky to work in this Norse Viking narrative, because there is so much you can pick from there. They have beautiful designs already that is all 1500 years old. It's already known because of the Viking, Norwegian Viking ships and everything. So out of that, we made knitwear. I will show you one particular one. Just
we have a bit of show and tell for this talk, which is very nice.
This was a very, very... I was very reluctant to do this because it was cost us so much money. But everything here is from... this is the border design from the area. And this is our logo, the Borre Beast, which is also found. And they never understood what it is. Still, the archaeologists are talking about that. And of course, we have the Midgard runes here. And this takes them about 4 weeks to produce one of them. So we got 10 to the festival, and it's very expensive. It's Norwegian wool, all made by the sheep in Norway. The wool is made there, it's colored there. and cost a lot, right? So, and I was like putting him up, and I said I need to charge at least 366 euros from them, and probably we'll sell two this year and two next year. We sold out those 10 in half an hour, like this.
Shit.
It was, yeah, they really wanted. And it's also, it's not only about the design, but how to wear it. And it, I went with the idea because, and I took this chance because I know in Borre, where we, it's a summer festival, but it's getting so cold. At night, you have the storms coming in from the sea and everything. So wool products in our festival works very well. And that's like a way of, yeah. So if you buy this for 366 euro, this you will probably die in. You will wear it. Yeah.
Your kids will wear it.
Your kids will wear it, yeah. Built to last, yeah.
Have you noticed then that there is an increasing concern both on the bands who are selling it and also the people who are buying it to have products to die in?
Some of them, I think, yeah. I mean, what you're talking about there is a great story that relates exactly to the story of your festival, and that's why people will buy that, because they've already bought into the experience of your festival, and now they want to have something they can take away from that, regardless of the price. It's a great, it's a good connection. It means that when they leave, they still have that kind of, every time they wear that or pull it out, they can, you know, remember the good time they had at the festival. So that makes sense. I think, you know, it's still a business. So a lot of bands will still, if you want to get the cheapest stuff, you're going to get it for a t-shirt, you're going to get it from China, right? Mm-hmm. Or some country like that brings the prices right down. But I'm with you. I mean, I often use, when I'm printing merch for people in the UK, if American band is coming on tour, I have a little network of independent people that I use. They're not the big companies, although I do use big companies as well, but I try and give jobs to people that have smaller companies that could use the work, and if they work with these bigger bands, maybe they will get more work. So you try and help everybody through it, but if you have an environmental concern, then, you know, that's clearly, you have to go to a certain supplier for that. The funny thing you said about Napalm Death, which is a band I worked with a lot, or do work with a lot, they're bigger, you know, that's a political band and they mean something and they stand for something, and that's what people relate to. But their biggest selling t-shirt of recent times is pink. It's pink and it has a unicorn on it. And that was like one of the guys in the band idea to do it. All the other guys hated it. They were like, it sucks. We're never going to, you know, it should be black t-shirt, Napalm Death on it.
And it was Barney. It was Barney.
You know, you can't keep it in print enough. It just sells like crazy.
Oh
so
my God.
Sometimes the idea, you know, you're not reinventing the wheel, although for Napalm Death to do a pink t-shirt is obvious. But it also kind of made a statement of like, you know, they weren't making a statement about gender or anything like that. They were just having fun with the t-shirt. But at the same time, you know, it kind of feeds into their the way they do things and relates to them in the same way that great jumper relates to the festival and tells a story. So I think that's a great idea. And if I had 366 euros, I might buy one. But I don't.
And again, very glad that both of you, this is easy when you have good people on a panel. Yeah. You just bring up the subjects yourselves. I think there is an increased effort nowadays to actually, as you said earlier, you could get the t-shirt with the band logo and that was it, or with the album cover, which was even worse. Now there seems to be an effort to have it be a part of something, a part of a narrative, as you said, to actually mean something and to have merch as an extended experience from the band and not just something to make money that you'll wear to the show. Or
it means something, right? This goes for all things. If you wear a Rolling Stones t-shirt, you know, they have many, many designs. It's all the same thing, the lips and the tongue, but it's all done in different ways, whatever. Because you relate to that band, you love that band, you want to show other people that you love that band, you might want to meet people who also like that band and they can identify. I mean, we all know the story if you're in the metal scene from years ago before the internet. If you walk down the street in your small little shitty town that you grew up in, like I did, you know, and see some other guy coming down the other side of the street with, you know, Motorhead t-shirt on, you're like, I'm probably going to talk to that guy. Yeah. I might be like that guy, right? Yeah. It's an identifier. So I think nowadays it would be called branding, I guess. But you're not really thinking like that. You're just thinking it's another way to show to promote your band, to show if you have good t-shirts, if you have an iconic thing like Motorhead does or Ramones has or Rolling Stones has, it can become such a useful way for people, other people, to find out. I mean, a lot of people know what, you know, again, you can tell the same old cliche story about does everybody that wears a Ramones t-shirt know the names of the people in the band or the songs? Or does it matter? I mean, you know, if they're wearing it, they're wearing it. So it's really important.
And in a business that is less obvious than things written on fabric, what efforts do you have to take to make, for example, a beverage have that connection to a band?
By a coincidence, I have a bottle with me.
You just brought it and you wandered here with it. And then you were like, oh, I'm on a panel.
I need to buy that.
I just want to say, because this is like beyond the band. It's this is a lifestyle. So this is actually one of the coolest products I have ever done. Because we got the question from Marshall to do a beverage. And I was like, okay, let's think of it. So, and the thing was that how can we do the evolution from amps to gin? That was the question for us in the building. Like, how we do we do it? So our designer, he did some drawings, and we wanted it to feel like an amp. As you see, your knob is from the volume control, and you have the net on the side, and it's gold, and it's a good gin, because I also had the question, also it's shit in the bottle. Why would I put shit in a bottle when it's so expensive? I'm not stupid. You know, so it's actually a London dry gin, so it's 43%. I actually wanted to give you all a sample, but I couldn't, so you have to blame the venue for that. So I have some left. No, but so
maybe we'll meet outside.
I know. No, but the thing is that Marshall is a different thing, because as you said, for Motorhead, I work with Motorhead, I work with Slayer, and for example, and Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels is the same thing, that if you have a Jack t-shirt on, you know that you are in a community of something. Or if you have a Motorhead t-shirt, that's the same. You don't. There are people that haven't heard Motorhead, it's strangely, but they wear a t-shirt.
Weirdos.
You know. Yeah. So, but so you're in the community. Yeah, so that's course. What we wanted to create with Marshall, is that artists can actually have, most of artists have Marshall amps on stage. So this is not very strange to have a gin, we think. So yeah. I think.
And I mean, it's instantly recognizable, right? You see this and you know what it is if you've ever seen a show in your life. Yeah.
So, so I think we did a good job with this in taking the brand on the next level. And it's there is also some sustainability thinking in this, because. And that's, you get that for free when you work with a monopoly, because in Sweden you can only sell a beverage in Systembolaget for consumers. So they also are on us saying, okay, the bottle can't have a weight over 500 because it's not environmental friendly, and you have to prove that everything on this bottle is not dangerous for the nature. So so they are really like, you have you have to have legal stuff to prove that you are working with good things. So we get that for free, as talking about what you said. So so I just wanted to show you.
I suppose that every time you work with a new artist, there has to be, the first thing is the creative meeting like this. How do we connect things?
Right? Yeah, but it's different, because as for Amon Amart, as is the latest client I've done 7 gins for In Flames. I've met the guy so many times, so I'm always like, oh, you know. But I love the process, but they're very intense. But Amon Amart, for example,
drink something else, guys.
No, but you know, Anders is very picky of the taste. So and I love that, because we have been peeling lemons and squeezing peppers and everything to get the right taste. But with Amon Amart, it had to be Swedish, have to have Viking association. So it's a smoky whiskey. So I said to the guys, okay, let's go to the distillery. I know one. So we went there, and we actually did the blend in the lab. together.
Okay,
so
cool.
They have been very involved in the whole process. And most of the artists does. Angry Birds has not been a part of it, because I have done sodas for them.
You mentioned you also work with food. Is there any story like that about food that you'd like to...
So we launched barbecue sauces and pepper and stuff for Motorhead. And you find them at Willys and Hemköp in Sweden. So, but that's a bit different, because you have Phil and Mickey D who approves everything. So it's not like we sit and try spices with them. It's like, okay, we have these. Is anything here that you like? So it's a different process, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
This
is all a tool for fan engagement, basically. Mm. It's that dirty word that you mentioned, branding, right? That's so important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The brand is how we worked with it was back in the days when we started. It was we started the whole festival starts with the Blut ceremony, and we do like Blut hoodies, which is basically black hoodies, but we put manas on them. This is the manas that stands for Midgar. These are on the hood of the hoodie. And so when you go to Blut, you take your hoodie on and you go to Blut in a way. It's not a religious thing, it's just you go into a modus and then you share that experience with your, you know, fellow festival goers. And then out of that, when we started the festival, I built a community around it. So the community is like a fan base of the festival. And this manas, when you do this thing, put on the hood, because the festival goers are into fantasy genres, they are into this bloody thing, they're in. So putting that is like from the Lord of the Rings, when they put the orcs, you get like a, you know, and it's also like a war marker in a way. And manas is it's the runes, it's a symbol of coming together, sharing experiences, build societies. That's what the manas, the mid M, stands for. And then we also did we have huge bonfires. So about tasting and everything, you would not believe, but we made a shampoo that smells like bonfires, and people love it. We ship them around the world. Now I just have the hemp one, but it's with hemp, and this is made in Poland, because industrial hemp is not allowed to produce in Norway. So we took the cleanest one, and we ship them all over the world. And this one shampoo bar is like five times, it can replace five shampoo bottles, right? So we have people asking, yeah, I need a wood tar, I need a wood tar, because I want to smell like Midgardsblot, I want to smell bonfire. So that's all kind of... But then you actually make your festival experience duration for a whole year. Mm. And that's branding, because
when
then they get in the
mood. When you still smell
mood.
Like a festival that you've been to 6 months ago, and that's a good thing, then you've made a good product.
Exactly,
yeah. I had literally written here, what other kinds of merch are artists going for? Maybe a few crazy/funny examples. Well, that's covered. But do you have more?
I also do. I didn't intend to get into the merch business in the way that you guys are doing. I mean, I have some of your other drinks that you've done. They're fantastic. But it's quite a logical connection, isn't it? But to have rock fans and booze, right? I mean, or music fans and booze, you could say. And then you have iconic brand like Marshall or like Jack Daniels or a band like Slayer or Motorhead, you know. But I came up with an idea that was in the pandemic, actually, when I left Earache and didn't really know what I was doing. I was going to come to this merch place and work there. But I read a report on the BBC News, I think it was at the time, during the first COVID wave. And they said 15% of all packages that were sent out through the Royal Mail in England were jigsaw puzzles at the time, because people were bored and they needed something to do, and jigsaw puzzles was a thing, right? And I had this idea before to do colouring books, because especially in the rock and metal world, again, the artwork is a big deal if you think about iconic bands like Iron Maiden and all that. And so I was like, well, how, you know, would anyone go for a coloring book? Is it considered too child for children, or too stupid, or just, you know, not a good idea? But I did. I approached all these people, so I ended up doing Motorhead coloring book, Judas Priest coloring book, Iron Maiden coloring book, and we carry on and on. And you know, I don't think any of the bands would have come up with that idea, or any of the management teams would have come up with an idea, because it was just something personal to me. I liked artwork. I liked coloring books to relax as a way of mindfulness and stuff like that. But the coloring books I could always find, they were always those kind of like, you know, garden things with a mushroom and a squirrel going up a tree or something. Like, it's like, I mean, I liked it, and I like coloring a fish or whatever, but not, it didn't really mean anything to me. It was just, but when you bring in artwork that I've loved and means something to me, albums that I grew up with. And luckily, a lot of people felt the same way, because the coloring book thing just exploded for us, and we have a whole company with it now. So, and you know, we have people approaching us. I have artists approaching me now saying, can you do my coloring book? Because it's good branding, right? For it's, and again, it's an experience that stays with you outside of listening to the album, outside of wearing the T-shirt. And also, one other thing about the coloring books, which is funny, which I think someone told me yesterday, is that I know a lot of people buy the coloring books and don't do any coloring. They just put it in the collection next to all the other stuff they got by that band. So, you know.
Many do that with drinks also.
Yeah, I think so.
So I always say buy two, one to save and one to drink.
I mean,
drink.
Because one has collection, right?
I have a couple, and it looks, I think, did you do Ozzy Osbourne, or did someone else?
Yeah, it's in the same company. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not opening it. It looks way too cool to be opened. Yeah. You know, that would ruin the whole thing. But people buy it for different reasons. But as long as they do, as long as they get some enjoyment out of it, I think it's wonderful that people would buy a shampoo that would make them smell like a festival experience. Where does that come from? You know?
I have actually a fun stuff to tell you about Motorhead, because I met Lemmy several times, and I always get a question from fans, why do you do a rosé for a Motorhead? That's so not Motorhead. Yeah. But the thing was that was actually Lemmy's idea. So he actually said, I want to have a rosé. It was like, okay. Okay, so we had to do it.
If Lemmy says he wants something doing, he would do it.
But we cannot do commercial for the non-alcohol beer, because the management that ain't putting up on our social media. Lemmy would never approve it, but I'm sure he would. So we have actually non-alcohol beer. That's the first product I've done without alcohol. Yeah. So.
But did he have a specific reason for the rosé that he ever told you?
So he stopped drinking Jack, and then he had to go from hard liquor. So it was like, and he didn't like white wine. We never did Motorhead white wine. I know there's been another market doing that. So, and he all of a sudden, you know, he had these, you know, everybody know he had these blueberries. He had this stuff he ate and everything when he couldn't drink alcohol. But before that, it was like he had this idea with rosé. He drank a lot. Okay. So that's why he wanted to have
going
that.
Going through his pink phase, so to speak.
I don't know. Pink T-shirt.
Your coloring books are not just for children, obviously, but we've mentioned the Motorhead Baby Girls and stuff before, and that's actually a... And I think this is a very metal, or at least rock-centered panel, so I'm sorry for people who are not so much into that scene, but I think that's also a generational thing, isn't it? Because it is a relatively young genre in generational terms, so people are just now, or not just now, but like for the past couple of decades, having children who can understand the music that they listen to.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes... if the genre has been around for, you know, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, the age of the people that are still following it becomes older. They have disposable income. They want to buy a nice... I mean, they will spend money on an expensive jumper because they can.
Yeah.
They earned it. They feel they deserve it. They've worked all their lives or whatever and supported festivals and bands and stuff. So, that's a big... there's a wider market for more interesting merch ideas. But I think people will just connect with merch... you're still going to buy a T-shirt because that's the basic merch thing, but we sell just as many. I mean, I can't tell you how many socks we sell. Pairs of Sex Pistols socks or whatever. And it's kind of like a nice gift to give somebody, especially, of course, this time of year. If you don't know, you know that person likes rock music, but you don't really know rock music yourself. you know they need socks, everybody needs socks, yeah. So you give them, you know, it's logical. And I don't think it demeans the band. If the product is a bit crappy or a bit stupid or whatever, but like you said, most bands or managers would never allow their artist, you consult with them, you don't do it, you have to get a right to do it, yeah. And license it or whatever. So you do it with the best of intentions because you try and make something cool for them, mostly because I guess for you guys as well, you are a fan of what those people are doing as well. So I feel a responsibility. It's only a coloring book, but believe me, I check it like a billion times before it goes out because I would hate for anything to be wrong with it, right? Yeah. I have a respect for the artist. So I think it's the same with the drinks as well. You do it because you work especially hard to create something that fans of that brand would love.
Yeah, we did actually one of the first products I did in when I was in this business was actually a whiskey for In Flames. We did two varieties. We had and they were like Anders were in a distillery. I offered him a trip there, and he said, "I want to do that barrel. It's from 1973." It's very old. I said, okay, this is going to be very, very, very expensive for the fans. He said, okay, so let's try. So we did empty the barrel and did 200 bottles approximately, and they cost about 4,000 kroners each, and they sold out immediately. So, and it was like, I can assure you there were no whiskey connoisseurs buying that bottle. So they didn't even know what they were buying, and it was a hell of a good of whiskey. So you know, I totally understand this, that if you do quality products like this, people will buy it. You know, it's good things. So yeah.
You know what's funny? In most other panels I do about many other subjects, the default question or the default mood is, so what are the difficulties or how are you coping with these troubled times? This is the complete opposite, right? You seem to be, as people involved with merch, in a unique position. The internet didn't fuck it up. You can't download gin, unfortunately. it basically just gets better, right? What are the main, if any, barriers that you think you face? Do you actually have any failure stories? Or
so for us, it's very easy. It's the distribution. Because you can't sell, for you can't sell your products anywhere online. I can't do it. I have to find distributors all over the world, you know, and so on. So it's for us, that's the big challenge. It doesn't matter how many times I'm on a Mart posted or a Sweden Rock post. Yeah. Because if you don't have it any distribution, you can't sell it. So that's my biggest concern.
It's a bottleneck more than actually a failure.
I think
literally a bottleneck.
For us, it's just. I mean, we at ISO we retail online. So the question is always the cost of sending something. The price is always changing. The rules are always changing. Obviously, we're in the UK, so Brexit had a big impact as well for people receiving stuff. So we're trying to balance like keeping everyone in a job at ISOR whilst also giving value to the customer and not having to put too much money on things like postage or packaging and stuff like that. So those are it's quite boring downsides of it really. You know, you have to try and choose your courier, your shipper, your partner with economy in mind. Yeah. But other than that, you're right. The classic thing is, you know, you cannot download a T-shirt, right? So, and people still want to buy, a bit like the vinyl revival, I guess, or something like that. They still want to buy back in black on a T-shirt or a vinyl or whatever. You know, I mean, it's some things. You earn your money. You deserve to give yourself a treat every now and then, or buy someone a gift every now and then. If it's a nice bottle of gin, then lovely, you know. If it's a T-shirt, that's also just as means something. And so those physical things are, it must be one of the only areas of the music where physical things are still going on rather than decreasing and being beaten down by the online stuff.
Exactly.
I think the greatest challenge working with merch is to balance this because we're pushing products and our planet is getting killed by consumerism, right? So to find that balance, and there is no good solution right now because even though you order stuff online or shipping is a huge thing, but also this, if you order anything, it's you ask the manufacturer, no, I don't want to be plastic wrapped, I don't want it, and, and they still do it, and it's it costs a lot of money to be environmental friendly in a way to ship that around. So that's a huge challenge. And what we see, there's a company in Norway right now that takes all crew T-shirts, and or because festivals we have shitloads of them, right? I've stopped putting the year on them just so we can reuse everything. But in Norway right now, there is a company specializing in taking all kinds of merch back and reprint them, and you know, finding solution to, you know, use a reusable merch. Mm. So we just it's just starting, but that I see is a huge challenge because we need to save this planet. So and consumerism is still we need to figure out good solutions for that.
Yeah. Mm. Do any of you have anything else to show, or
no?
So I will just. I will just. I have one more thing to show. Of course. So this one. This is a very expensive one, but not all have that kind of money, right? So we make a range that everyone can have at least something that is fair. This we don't. This is also very expensive to make, but we don't earn that much money on them. It's just so we have a full range that everyone can.
Yeah.
Because we're building a community, and we don't want to have like this. Oh, you are. Only you can have money to buy that and that. So
the
everyone
elite
gets
sweater people.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So everyone gets a piece of it. So yeah, that's.
We had actually aprons when we started Brands for Fans. Had we aprons because everybody couldn't buy booze. So we did aprons with Slayer with bloodstain. So we sold that around Europe.
Slay the Cook or something.
Yes, yeah. It was full with blood. I loved it.
Okay, so we were forewarned that there are many people with questions, apparently. Does anyone want to raise their hands? Or
anyone?
Come on, you promised. Yeah, I can't see past the second row.
No, I can't see anything. Yeah.
Hiya.
Hi.
I am located in Canada, and I run a little residence retreat, and I have a vintage store on the property. And so when artists come, we hope to develop totally recycled and totally reused merch for them. And I'm just wondering about, like, I guess marketing that kind of stuff on the smaller scale, because obviously we're making, like, 10 items or something. And these are quite... like beginner bands who are coming to the space. So just like how to help those bands make money off of something that is high cost, if that makes sense. Like turning that around.
I think it's, if you see it as a clothing, then find clothing as people invest in so they can use all the time. Like not only thinking it's a merch item, but more like a, this is a good sweater I need to wear, or I need this T-shirt or something. That it's more like look at it as not just merch, but that's something that you will need to wear all the time. I don't know if that was answering your question, but yeah, just commenting.
There is another way also, because there was a festival I think last summer that collected secondhand clothing.
Yeah.
And I really like that idea, and they print their logo on, so everybody had special items instead of printing new, because there are so many much clothes out there that nobody use. So I think that's kind of cool to take your trousers or sweaters or whatever that's used and put a band logo on.
And also find good collaborators that are in this idea with you, working with you. This factory I work with is knitted merch. It's a long process, but it's so valuable. And you find your margins together. You're not just buying from a supplier, but you're in this collab that we both are gaining from. Mm-hmm. And
I would just say. My first question would be, why are they doing that? It's like connected to the story of, if you're making something quite exclusive and quite expensive, you gave a very good reason about why you're doing that, because it connects to every aspect of the festival and the story that you have. if the band's doing it for a reason, then it's a good reason that I agree with, I'd go for it. You know, I'd invest in it. So what is the reason for it? Can they talk eloquently about what they believe in, why they're doing it this way? And then I'm sure, you know, you will find enough people to go for it because they'll connect in the same way.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? And Matthias, help me out.
Here? I have a question. Oh, I don't need a mic. Okay. Hello. No, but I was wondering because you said branding is a dirty word, and I was wondering why it is, and maybe you guys could explain it because you obviously don't think it's dirty, but...
I was just making a joke.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I think it's some people might listen to
that. It's a marketing term, and you know, it was just a joke. But you can discuss it.
Yeah, no, because I think it's important to like maybe just put a positive spin on it since it's crucial for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. I think branding is good that. Because take this example again, this is like what you put into the brand. The experience they have in the festival is very conscious of how we do this and how we do the blood ceremony. It's very multicultural, multi-ethnicity, and you know, it's open for all. There's no barriers, it's easy accessible. And if you do not want to join, doesn't matter, you're still part of the community as well, just watching it or, you know, so you always feel like... And the brand is telling that we are like, come to us, we are a big, happy Bluter family. But and that's experience that you feel welcomed in a way. And that's what I'm putting into the brand. But brands, they all have, brand is just a symbol of an experience. Or, and you can put any kind of experience or what do you call it, associations into a brand. So it's up to you to give them good associations. Mm. And yeah.
And you want to connect with, listen, you want to have a Gems t-shirt on to show I am a queen of the Gems.
I will have a Gems t-shirt.
Yeah, but you know, that's something you show. You show up. You want to show what you stand for.
Exactly.
So that's why you have the merch. And
That goes back to the guy in a Slayer shirt on the street. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. That's community.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.